Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Adam, as another reminder that it is, in fact, 2020, we are now doing a second preview podcast for the Broncos and New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's the Broncos versus Patriots, the remix. It's the remix edition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. I don't know how much further I can go with that.
In homage of Hot Shots, it's Broncos Patriots part deux.
So here we go. Yeah, we've complained about the NFL. We've complained about the way that this has been handled. If you didn't listen to the last show, check it out. We definitely got into it, but it is frustrating. But I will say this, and we didn't talk about this before we started recording, but this just kind of popped into my head. I actually appreciate the way that Vic Fangio sort of put it into perspective. And I thought it was interesting because he got sort of blown up by some national media people, ESPN in particular, people who don't know how to read or listen to a quote fully and understand the context of it. But then he put it into real perspective in his interview with Peter King on Peter King's was a Monday Morning Quarterback or whatever he calls it. So just to kind of lay it out there for you, he talked about COVID and he said, you know, this is where we're going to find out who the whiners are, the whole thing. And then he discussed it with Peter King a little further and talked about how his daughter had COVID and she had to battle through it. And he talked about some of the symptoms and how he was glad that she had survived. And it was sort of one of those things where he was able to take what is happening in the NFL and what is specifically happening to his team and give it a more human quality, right? He brought a little humanity, a little empathy to it. And so as frustrating as this is for fans, for the team, for the players, for the coaches, for everybody involved, you put it into perspective and you understand that this is still something that is affecting people's lives. It is still having a huge impact on the country. And he really did a nice job of putting that into perspective. Now, whether the national media is going to pick up on that and they're going to, you know, he's going to get an apology from Jay Williams, from ESPN, I doubt that. But at least from my perspective, it felt like he did a really good job of simply putting out there, look, this is the world we live in. And, you know, some of us are lucky to be here and we're going to appreciate that more than to be angry about the little things that cause us to have these inconveniences. I appreciate that. And I respect that a lot more than I think a lot of people gave him credit for when that first quote came out.
And I appreciated the first quote because it's kind of like that Bill Belichick mantra where suck it up and do your job. And I think it's important that he brings that human element to it, but it also doesn't change the fact that his team got screwed over by the National Football League because they did not have a positive test. The Patriots did, and the Patriots got treated with kid gloves instead of being more severely punished or punished at all, because they didn't. All that, and we touched on this on the prior podcast. The only thing the Patriots lost was their bye week. That's it. Four other teams got more screwed over than the Patriots did. Now, I totally see why Vic Fangio wants his players to just deal with it, bring that human element to it. But it also highlights the fact how poorly the NFL has handled this. To not be prepared for teams or players having tested positive and just throwing stuff against the wall to see if it'll stick on the postponements and having to fix your schedule. But that's water under the bridge at this point. I definitely, as I said, as you said, appreciate Vic Fangio bringing that human element to it. And I totally get the people who say, miss me with having to have your schedule flipped around based on everything that's happening in the country. But at the same point, it wasn't handled well. And that's what we're saying.
Yeah. And it's a legitimate gripe, right? It's not like we're looking at this and saying something that isn't legitimate. It is a legitimate sort of complaint here that the Denver Broncos are the team that gets screwed over and the New England Patriots, as is the way in the NFL, continually get sort of, I guess, the unfair treatment, the lucky treatment, right? They get sort of passed over for any real punishments or anything like that. I mean, you can go through the history of the New England Patriots over the course of the last 20 years and identify moments in their team history where there should have been some sort of punishment meted out for something that they did and no punishment was really given. And I know people are going to say, oh, Deflategate was a huge overreaction, blah, 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 blah. Really? Is that really the case? It was a huge overreaction. Did they lose any games because of it? They lost a draft pick. They don't draft well anyway, so who cares? I think that what we are saying, and it's important that we make sure we sort of make this understandable here. What we are saying is that it's just sort of par for the course for the NFL and the way that the New England Patriots continue to get away with things while other teams do not get away with them. And we are not downplaying the coronavirus and the effect that it has on the people who get it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how the NFL handles the New England Patriots in a way that is seemingly different than the way that the NFL handles any other team in the NFL. And that is frustrating.
And now we can actually talk about the game. Maybe.
Maybe. All right, so let's talk about the game. So I guess the thing that we have to think about is what has changed, right? So what has changed from the way the game was going to look last week to the way the game is going to look this week, from week 5 to week 6?
I think the biggest thing is Drew Lock is probably going to be the starting quarterback because he wasn't going to play on the Monday night or before it got moved to Monday, and not Monday night, Monday afternoon. He wouldn't have played Sunday afternoon. So now the fact that it has been pushed back a week, I think it's more than likely that we're going to see Drew Lock back on the field. Not only that, I think it's potential for KJ Hamler to be on the field. Noah Fant, Philip Lindsay was probably going to play anyway. Now he's had another week to get over his turf toe. And on defense, AJ Boye has at least another week now to get back on the field from his shoulder injury that he suffered on the opening Monday night game when it really was Monday night.
So it actually ends up being something of a silver lining, right? I mean, I think that's really what you have to do here. At this point, it's like you said, it's water under the bridge, right? We have to move on and we have to try and identify the good with the bad here. Well, the good here is we're going to get back on the Drew train a little bit. The Denver Broncos are going to be able to continue to watch and look and evaluate Drew Lock and develop Drew Lock and see what they have in him. And whether they win or lose this game, at this point, to me, is almost unimportant. I mean, I'm rooting for them to win. I obviously want them to win. But it's got to be more about what do we have in Drew Lock and can he stay healthy? I think that's something that, even though I think his injuries have all been sort of freak injuries, you still have to evaluate that. And he's got some weapons that he's going to be able to turn to in Noah Fant and KJ Hamler and Phillip Lindsay and obviously Melvin Gordon still on the field. So to me, with an improved offensive line, we've talked a little bit about the offensive line, especially Garrett Bowles being better. This is the time when they can really start to look at Drew Lock and really evaluate whether or not he's going to be the guy for the next several years. And the truth is, if you look at this AFC West, and Jeff Essery had a great tweet about it, Broncos country watching the quarterbacks in the AFC West perform well this week, and it was the baby being dragged by the carousel. How fitting it was a carousel dragging the baby. It's one of those things where we as fans are just, we are starved for a good quarterback, and we need a quarterback that's going to compete with the Patrick Mahomes and the Justin Herberts of the world, and even, dare I say, Derek Carr? Really?
Well, the way he played against the Chiefs.
If the Broncos are the team with the worst quarterback in the AFC West coming out of this season, that's going to be pretty disappointing because of all the hype around this team heading into 2020. So this is the start, right? I think at this point you sort of wipe the slate clean a little bit. This is the start of the season. This is the start of Drew Lock's season. Can he perform? Can he turn things around a little bit and make it look like this team can be competitive moving forward? This is the week that it's going to start, and hopefully it starts out well and can continue throughout the rest of the season.
There's a flip to all that, too. The Patriots were probably going to be without quarterback Cam Newton and cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Now both of them are more than likely going to play on Sunday. And that's a problem.
That's a problem. I agree.
I mean, it'll help tremendously to have AJ Boye back if he plays. Hopefully Mike Purcell is able to play. Hopefully Jeremiah Tachu is able to play. We'll see if some of these other guys who have been dinged up defensively are able to get back. But this is going to be a tough ask for the Broncos. We touched on last time we previewed this game, the defense that New England has and what it did to the Chiefs. Now you're bringing in Drew Lock, who's been on the shelf since he got hurt against Pittsburgh. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a challenge for the Broncos offense to be able to do some of the things that they want to be able to do. So it's the first chance that Drew Lock is going to have to go against Bill Belichick. I know he has the confidence and the belief in himself, and it's going to motivate him, I think. I'm curious to see how he responds to it.
Yeah, it's a big moment for Drew Lock. And Drew Lock is probably going to be one in a long line of, and I think if you look back through the history of the Patriots and what they have done to young quarterbacks, even quarterbacks by the name of Patrick Mahomes, who we've talked about before as being, to me, every time I see him play, I'm just, my mind is just blown up at his ability. And it sort of makes me forget that he likes ketchup on his steak, but the
real quick, that State Farm commercial that he does with Aaron Rodgers, I love, because he's making fun of himself.
Oh yeah,
he's putting all the ketchup that he has. He's like, wait, do you guys want some? I thought that was I hate those commercials, but that was pretty good.
That one was solid. Anytime somebody's willing to make fun of themselves for something that they know people kind of think is stupid, it endears you to them a little bit, right? A little self-deprecation goes a long way there. But it is something that when you look at what Bill Belichick does against young quarterbacks, it's a pretty high success rate. And that's going to be the hurdle that that Drew Lock has to jump over in this game. And not only that, you talked about Stephon Gilmore. If I'm not mistaken, he's your reigning defensive player of the year. So, you know, he's a solid cornerback. Am I wrong about that? I feel like I saw that somewhere.
He's more than solid. He's very good. He's a
solid guy. So it's not going to be an easy welcome back to the season. Here you can play, you know, the Miami Dolphins, who apparently are good. I don't know what happened with that. But, you know, here's a bad team
it's
for you.
It's Magic, baby.
I know, that's true. It is Fitzmagic. But it is not going to be a welcome back to the NFL in an easy way. It's going to be, here's a little baptism by fire for you, because Bill Belichick don't mess around. And while we're excited to have Drew Lock back, and we talk about, you know, the return of Noah Fant, the return of KJ Hamler, perhaps maybe you're getting, you know, enough weapons back that they can compete. You still have to overcome what Bill Belichick is able to do as a head coach with his defense as they put together a game plan against Drew Lock, who is a very young and sort of unexperienced quarterback. Inexperienced, terrible English.
And I think while my key to the game from last preview is still the same, it hasn't changed. I still think they need to win the turnover battle. Now that Cam Newton is playing, the defensive line has to be able to create pressure, but the edges have to hold containment, because Cam Newton is going to be able to get out and make plays because Von Miller isn't there. He's going to be like, oh, I'm playing the Broncos and Von Miller's not here. That's going to be different. I wish Von Miller was playing.
Well, it's always nice when a father and son duo can get on the field, even when they're competing against each other. You know, it's nice to see when a dad can get out there and really, you know, help his son grow as a football player, which is something that I think Cam Newton needs a little bit from his father.
So that's going to be interesting to see if they're going to be able to get pressure but also hold containment, because he'll get out of the pocket, he'll make plays, he'll run. That's what he does, and it's been successful at this point for New England and Josh McDaniels with how they've utilized it and brought it in from that change from Tom Brady to Cam Newton. So that's going to be one of the things that I keep an eye on. I think if AJ Boye is able to go again, I think it's huge for the secondary, because now you're not going to be asking so much of those younger cornerbacks that they have been forced to do the last couple of weeks with Boye being out. So now you're going to have Boye, you're going to have Callahan. Devontae Bosby, I thought, played incredibly well against the Jets. I think he's going to be your nickelback going forward. But you still have Michael Ojemudia, who is there, who I think has shown that he has a great potential to be a very good player for the Broncos. After the way he played against Pittsburgh, he's really put it on himself and responded. And yes, he's been picked on by quarterbacks. That's going to happen. But at the same point, he hasn't had some of those issues that he had against the Steelers. So I think the secondary has potential to surprise people. But to me, it's all about getting pressure on Cam Newton. And then creating turnovers, because to me, that is still the key to the game. The Broncos are at the bottom of the National Football League with two turnovers. They've created two turnovers.
Yuck. Yeah, I just got like a bad taste in my mouth when you said that. That was gross. Yeah, it's like when you eat like something like almost metallic. That's what that felt like to me. That was gross. I didn't enjoy that. I'm going to go with my key to the game, and I think that it may be sort of an obvious one. Mine's going to shift a little bit. My key to the game is just Drew Lock in general, right? It's how Drew Lock plays. And I know that that's a bit of a cop-out and maybe a little bit cliche, but there is no doubt that in the NFL, as goes your quarterback, so goes wins and losses. And I'm not saying that QB wins is a stat, because I don't want people to yell at me about that. But the teams that have good quarterbacks have a tendency to win games, and the teams that have bad quarterbacks have a tendency to lose games. That's why it's such an important position. So the key to the game is going to be Drew Lock and his ability to dissect this Bill Belichick defense and sort of figure out what he can take from the defense. And one of the things that's important in the NFL is being willing to take what is given to you by the defense. And I will point to the Monday night game between the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Chargers. And Drew Brees, who struggled in the first half, was able to make the adjustments. And at the end of that game, even though it ended up going into overtime and really only because of a couple of missed kicks, and I can hear people yelling at me about that as well, Drew Brees adjusted and just took what was given to him by that defense. And if you can give, if you can take what's given to you and make that work, then you have a shot at winning almost any game. And it's on the quarterback to make those decisions. If the quarterback decides that they need to take more than is there for them, then usually defenses are able to capitalize on that. And a Bill Belichick defense with Stephon Gilmore, the reigning defensive defensive player of the year. I looked it up. Don't worry. And that, what he does, that's not a time when you want Drew Lock saying, I'm going to try and take this from you. How about you just, you know, here's what's given to you and we'll, and let's make that work. That's what he has to do to be successful in this game. I don't know how much is going to be given to him. Like, I don't know that Bill Belichick is going to have too many areas on the field that are just going to be ripe for the picking for Drew Lock, but whichever spot it is, he's got to find it and he's got to make it work. And if he can do that, if he can lead the offense that way, they might be able to keep up with this offense. Because the one thing I will say is that the Denver Broncos defense is still the Denver Broncos defense. Is it as good as the 2015 defense? No, get out of here with that. But it's not the worst defense. It's actually still pretty good. So
minus the turnovers.
Well, yeah, I was trying to avoid having to mention that, but I guess that's part of the whole picture. But if you can just sort of limit what the Patriots do on offense, maybe Drew Lock can lead the Broncos offense and get some points and steal some opportunities. That's really all you can ask of him, and that's really the key to the game here for them.
And that's where it's important that Pat Shurmur puts Drew Lock and the offense in a position to have success. He needs to put a game plan that allows Drew Lock to be able to pick his spots. There's only so much Drew Lock can do. That's why it's so important to have an offensive coordinator and a game plan that plays to the strengths of your team, but also takes advantage of the weaknesses that the other team has. And Bill Belichick, for the evil genius that he is, he's not perfect. His defenses do have weaknesses. And yes, there is Stephon Gilmore, but that secondary isn't going to be able to cover every single weapon that the Denver Broncos have. More than likely, Gilmore will line up on Jerry Jeudy, but there's still Tim Patrick. There is still KJ Hamler, potentially. There's still Noah Fant, potentially. There's still Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay out of the backfield. That's where it's imperative that Pat Shurmur live up to the moment and match Bill Belichick. And if he's able to do that, that's what will allow Drew Lock to have success.
Yeah. That's a huge ask, by the way. I don't think there's anybody listening that doesn't think that if you took Pat Shurmur and said, okay, you're against Bill Belichick, 999 times out of 1,000, you're going to pick Bill Belichick to win that matchup. Just need one, though, right? You only need one any given Sunday. Oh, there it is. Is that the any given Sunday bell? Did we hear that? Yep, the cliche is out there.
Drink.
That's right. All right. So that being said, who are our players to watch? I'll let you start. Let's go defense first.
I'm going to go with Bradley Chubb. There's been a lot of talk since he's back from his ACL tear that, well, he's into bust territory. It takes a while for guys to come back from a knee surgery, like an ACL. It takes time. And this is another example of immediacy. We want it right now. Right now. No patience. We saw flashes of it throughout the season, but the stat book watchers wanted sacks. Well, Bradley Chubb finally got some sacks the last time the Broncos played, which feels like 84 years ago now, against the Jets. I want to see how he does against Cam Newton and the Patriots. I want to see if Bradley Chubb can take the mantle of being Cam Newton's daddy from Von Miller.
Yeah, or maybe his uncle. Like, he could be his uncle, right? Is that how that
there
works?
You go.
Yeah, he could be Cam Newton's uncle, which is weird because he's younger than Cam Newton. That's always a little strange. But that happens, right? There are a lot of uncles out there who are younger than their nieces and nephews. I'm going to actually go with maybe a bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go with Alexander Johnson. And I think that one of the things that you see in the NFL is the importance of an individual player who really sets up the defense. And we've talked about Justin Simmons in this role before and how important he is. But A.J. Johnson, to me, has to become the guy, right? He has to become the guy who really sets the defense up. He's been good, but not great. He's been sort of a poor man's replacement for Al Wilson. That's not to say that he's not been a good player at times, but we've been craving a middle linebacker as good as Al Wilson since, well, Al Wilson left. So it would be nice if he could start to live up to that a little bit. He's been good. I'm not saying he hasn't been, but there's another level that he's got to get to make this defense really, really click, right? To really run well, you need a middle linebacker in a Vic Fangio defense to really make it work perfectly. And so this is an opportunity for him in a big spot where the Broncos could make some real noise. This is an opportunity for him to step up and be the catalyst for that and set that defense up for success and limit the damage that Cam Newton can do with that offense. And if he can do that and keep the Broncos in the game, then it sort of limits what Drew Lock has to do on offense and makes his life a little bit easier as well. So I'm kind of looking to Alexander Johnson to step into a leadership role here just as much as just playing well. There's a double-edged sword for him in this particular game, in my opinion. Offense?
I think that, before we get to offense, sure. This is where it's important to point out how well Josie Jewell played against the Jets. He perhaps played his best game as a pro. And I took some flack for not putting him in my winners-losers list on the winners list, which I totally, totally understand. But to my defense, it was late.
It was very late. Oh, it was ridiculously late. That's hard to be up at like midnight recording a podcast after an entire day's worth of work. And sometimes you're going to miss a couple things. It's okay. We're not perfect. We're infallible. We're not infallible. We're fallible at times.
More so than maybe others. But I think Josie Jewell can help Alexander Johnson. If Josie Jewell is able to play the way he did against the Jets and that becomes consistent, that can help Alexander Johnson get even better as well, because then they can play off of each other.
It's a really good point.
Offensively, I'm going to go with Drew Lock. I mean, you have to. I mean, this was going to be the year that everyone in Broncos country was on the Drew train. And now there's going to be even more pressure given what Justin Herbert is doing with the Los Angeles Chargers. And you mentioned Drew Brees taking advantage of the opportunities that he had against that Chargers defense. So did Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert took advantage of the opportunities against that Saints defense. So on top of Patrick Mahomes, on top of the mascara-wearing quarterback in Las Vegas, now with Herbert, there's added pressure now, maybe not from anywhere else. Maybe it's not going to be Drew Lock, but there's going to be external pressure because they want to see if he can be on that level. And the way to do it is to stay on the field. And it's not his fault. I think the injuries that he had have been fluke. But as you always say, the best ability is availability. And he needs to stay on the field.
Yeah, it has been the hardest thing to watch him. Because in those five games in 2019, when he came back, it was, if nothing else, exciting. And that's something that Broncos country needed. We needed that injection of excitement. And he brought that. And it carried over into this season, even through all of the pandemic stuff and all of the concerns about, is the season even going to be played? And what's going to happen if this? And what goes on if that? If nothing else, we all had that in our mind that this was the season of Drew Lock. This was when the Drew train was really going to take off and we were all going to be able to watch the beginning of something special. And that got put on hold, right? That I'm not going to say the train got derailed, but it certainly stopped, right? It certainly had to come to a standstill for a while. And if it stays sort of where it is, if there's never any improvement or if nothing ever changes, it just feels like more of the same for the Broncos. That's going to be frustrating. As far as my player to watch, since you got Drew Locke there, I think that the other player to watch in this is really going to be Jerry Jeudy. I know that Tim Patrick is going to kind of slide into that role of what Courtland Sutton is supposed to be, even though he's injured and out for the season. But if Stephon Gilmore is going to follow Jerry Jeudy around, I'm curious to see if Jerry Jeudy can do Jerry Jeudy things with Stephon Gilmore on him. That is a matchup that I'm actually interested in, fascinated in watching, because if Jerry Jeudy is going to really start to come into his own, this would be the type of game where he could break out and he could become that player that we talked about in the offseason as well, the hyped up number one draft pick who's going to get out there and not just be a workout freak, but be a freak on the field during games. Because to this point, he's had some good moments, he's had some bad moments. This could be one of those games where this is my hope that he breaks out as well as Drew Locke. Because if they can break out together against a Bill Belichick defense, that will alleviate some of our concerns, right, moving forward. If the two of them can play well in this game that has been postponed and given them a chance to be on the field together against one of the best defensive coaches in the history of the NFL.
And I think I'm going to add another player to this. It's another rookie. And that's center Lloyd Cushenberry. He's had moments where he's been really bad, but he's also had his moments where he's been good. And I want to see him start taking those next steps to be consistently good and learning from the things that he did poorly early in the season. And this is going to be perhaps his stiffest challenge at this point, going against the Bill Belichick defense with the ways that his defense gets pressure on quarterbacks. If Lloyd Cushenberry is able to start to make those progressions to be a consistently great center, that's going to help Drew Locke and in turn help Jerry Jeudy. So that's something to keep an eye on this week is Lloyd Cushenberry and the other two parts of that interior line, Dalton Reisner and Lamb Grasgow, who, to be frank, haven't been that great to start the season.
Yeah, Graham Glasgow has been a disappointment, and Dalton Reisner has, in a word, regressed. And I think that that's your sophomore slump right there for Dalton Reisner. Guys get tape on you. They start to figure you out. But this far into the season, he's got to step up his game. He's got to step up. He's got to become the Dalton Reisner of his rookie year, or else things are just going to continue to be a struggle on offense for sure. Do you have a bold – I don't know that I really have a bold prediction for this game. I was trying to think of something to get sort of crazy with. I don't have one. I just don't have anything that makes me go, ooh, I think this really big, crazy thing might happen. I got nothing.
Mine is, since I do sports betting for a job, I'm going to say my bold prediction, because I have a feeling with Cam Newton and Gilmore being back, I think the line is going to probably end up being around 9. I think the Broncos are going to end up being a +9 underdog. I think the Broncos will cover.
Ooh, okay. I actually think that sort of plays well into my score prediction. So I'm not going to give you a bold prediction, but I'll jump into score predictions, and I'm going to sort of mirror that a little bit. I cannot pull the trigger on a Denver Broncos win here. I can't do it. They're traveling. They sort of missed out on a bye week. I know they're getting some players back, but then I think that sort of hurts with chemistry a little bit on the field. I'm not really sure I can get into that. I am going to stick to my number 37, though, because I feel like that's something that I was really hopeful to kind of let that ride another week. Remember, I picked that the Broncos would score 37 against the Jets. Nailed it. So I'm gonna adjust my score just a little bit. I think that the Broncos probably give the New England Patriots a tough game here, but they falter in the end. I'm going 21-16 New England, But in a hard fought game where I think it's really more back and forth than people are thinking it's going to be.
And mine, I was originally going with 27-13. I'm going 27-23. I think that's where the Broncos are able to cover, because it'll be right there. And whether or not the Broncos are driving late to potentially go for the winning score or not, I won't go that far. But they'll have a chance. They'll be in contention with this game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout one way or the other, but I do think the Broncos are going to make it close, as you said. I think they're going to be able to make it a game. I'm going with 27-23 Patriots.
There you go. So, all right. So let's do this. We're going to take a little quick break here. When we come back, we'll preview the AFC West. We'll do a quick whip around the league, see what games we want to watch, and then we'll wrap things up. Okay, Ian. So let's do a quick look at the AFC West, which will be a quick look because there's only one AFC West team to look at. And it is the Kansas City Chiefs in what could be one of the most exciting games. The Chiefs at 4-1 will be playing on a weird Monday afternoon game at 4 o'clock Central Time is what I have here. So 3 o'clock Mountain Time on Fox, or apparently Amazon, or the NFL Network. I'm just looking at the TV stuff here. And the Chiefs will be playing the Bills, the 4-0 Buffalo Bills, led by Josh Allen.
By the time you listen to this, we'll have played the Titans on a Tuesday.
It's so confusing.
There's no Thursday game because there's a Tuesday game.
But there is a Tuesday game that could mean that it's the 4-1 Bills, but it would still be a very interesting game. Let's just make sure everybody knows what they could be looking at come next Monday, October 19th. But I think that's a pretty fascinating game. Even if the Bills lose, I think that ends up being a pretty fascinating game.
I want to have a bold prediction on the schedule.
Oh, I like it.
The Bills will beat the Titans. So by the time you listen to this, I'll either have egg on my face or eating egg. But I think the Bills will have beaten the Titans, and they will go into that game against the Chiefs undefeated at 5-0. And they're going to beat the Chiefs.
Whoa. Okay, I was waiting for the bold part of that prediction. I was kind of like, yeah, they'd probably beat the Titans. I'm with you on that. And then beat the Chiefs. Chiefs coming off a loss to a division rival at home. I don't know if I can go with you on that. I hope that you're right, because I hate the Chiefs and I want them to lose another game and lose all of their games at all times. I'm not sure I'm on the Bills bandwagon quite yet. I am fine with eating a little Josh Allen crow. You and I both sort of will have to do that at some point. I'll take a taste of it now and just say that he's darn good. I don't know that I see the Chiefs losing to the Bills, but I guess we'll find out. And even if the Bills are defeated, as in they have one loss, this game still ends up being a pretty exciting game.
And to me, I think the best game of the week is going to be the Browns at the Steelers. You'll have the 4-1 Browns going against the 4-0 Steelers. And this is fascinating to me. The Steelers haven't started 4-0 since 1979.
Yeah, I saw that stat. You would have thought in that amount of time, they've won some Super Bowls since then. They've been to AFC Championship games. They lost to the Broncos in some AFC Championship games. They beat the Broncos in some AFC Championship games. We don't have to go into it too much, but not really. This is the first time they've been 4-0 since 79. I mean, that means in my lifetime, because I was born in 1980, The Pittsburgh Steelers have only been 4-0 once, and it's just now, like right now. We're living in that time now. This is now.
That's weird. A Spaceballs reference.
Yeah, I did. I went with the space. I got into it, and I was like, oh, I know where I am. I can do this joke. And I did the joke. I was now. It was now. This is now. That was then, and this is now.
Well, let me steal it and bring it. We can use a Spaceballs reference for the Broncos and the Patriots. At last, we meet for the first time for the last time.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.